Well, election season might be over, but football season certainly is not. Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football. How about it with John Telich on this week's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. And again, we bring in longtime sportscaster JT, John Telich. How are we doing today, sir?
We are doing great. Really looking forward to seeing how the Browns match up with those Ravens this week. Really should be a fun game to watch, but man, a lot of anticipation on this one for sure.
Yeah, no question. Obviously, that AFC North battle heating up. Both teams coming off of really impressive wins. Baltimore beating up on Seattle while Cleveland had their way with Arizona. But let's start with Mr. Four, QB1, as they call him, Deshaun Watson, as he continues just to try to get his feet under him this season. And it's, you know, it's getting late early, as they say in that regard. But what are we seeing from Mr. Watson so far? Again, as he's just trying to get a rhythm and a groove about him.
Yeah, I think that was the late, great Yogi Berra that coined that phrase. It gets late here early. When he saw the shadows casting over the stands, I think at Cleveland Municipal Stadium years ago, and he said, hey, it gets late here early. So, yeah, that's one of the great great signs that there are. Well, first of all, I thought he was inconsistent first half. Seemed to get a little collected himself a little bit more there in the second half, and then made a couple of real good throws. There was a throw, I'm not sure exactly when it took place in the game, but it was a sideline throw where he had to obviously go over top the linebackers and underneath the deep help, and he threw a nice ball there for completion. But the ball to Amari Cooper, he let that go. It looked really flawless, and it hasn't been that long, Rocco, since we saw a video of him throwing the ball as if he were a shot putter at the Olympics, you know, but he just had a nice motion there and threw a beautiful pass to Amari Cooper. So I think there's, you know, things to be encouraged by. We haven't heard anything here in the middle of the week that, you know, there's any repercussions from what happened on Sunday, throwing the ball too much, getting hit, getting knocked down. You know, he ran the ball effectively a few times. Knew when to dump it off, not to try to be the hero. Certainly nice playing from in front. That doesn't hurt at all. But certainly it goes without saying he will get an amazingly ramped up defense to take on this week.
Well, and something that I think that might help him out this week and something that's been helping him out is that run game, which, you know, I think many thought that would suffer greatly once that devastating injury to Nick Chubb took place in that game against the Steelers. But, man, I'll tell you what, Jerome Ford, Kareem Hunt, friends, they're doing a really good job of kind of making the loss of Nick Chubb as minimal as possible.
Yeah, I think they've been schemed pretty well to run the football this year, knowing that they don't have that, you know, mistake eraser out there, such as was the talent of Nick Chubb, who could turn a 3-yarder into a 7-yarder or maybe a 2-yard loss into a 4 or 5-yard gain. He was just such a tremendous player. So with the committee, you know, they all have their distinct kind of different talents. You know, Kareem was the backup to Nick, and he still remains, you know, you would say sometimes he would be the preeminent back of the three guys, but I think there's something there to this Strong, Pierre Strong. So let's see if he gets a little bit more, a few more chances than we have seen in the past. Ford, I'm still waiting for him to look comfortable having the vision to make the move. I think he was strung out a few times on runs and didn't make a decisive move to try to get a crease and go for yardage. He's kind of hit or miss at times, Rocco. Obviously, he has that breakaway ability, and we have seen that already this year. Kareem is kind of like, you know, if we're going to go baseball here, Ford could be your home run hitter. Kareem is a guy that hits doubles all game long, and then if you throw him in the rotation as a pitcher, he can be your closer because he can get you that late tough run or that touchdown to maybe salt a game away. And then I haven't really seen enough to make a baseball analogy on Strong. But suffice it to say, I'm sounding like Stephen Vogt, the new manager of the year. Is it Stephen? Yeah, it's Stephen. Yeah. Stephen Vogt, the new manager of the Guardians. But, all right, here, something really caught my eye when I was researching for for today. The running ability of the Cleveland Browns from 20 to 22, and of course that was all predominantly Chubb and Kareem, they averaged 146 yards a game, almost 5 yards per run, and they ran it 30 times per contest. And here in 23, with a game and a quarter of Nick Chubb, and then the committee after that, they are running for more yardage per game. It's only a couple of yards. They are about a half a yard less in terms of their yards per carry, and they're running the football about four more times per game. So in many ways, that could be a byproduct of the craziness at the quarterback position, the injuries, and the P.J. Walker having to play, and DTR with the disaster that he had against the Ravens. But they know how to run the football. That's always been kind of their calling card, and they just have different people to try to do it this year.
Well, I think that means they owe the big fellas up front some steak dinners, right?
That's right. A lot of them.
Yeah. Again, we're talking Browns football this morning with John Telich on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience and Oco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Defensively, JT, I know last week we had talked a little bit about some concerns with the defense. They had gotten off to a really strong start, kind of maybe lost their way a tiny bit in recent weeks. They got back on track in that win against Arizona, and I know they're going up against Clayton Tune, who, you know, plenty of people around the country were saying, who the heck is that, before the game even started. But is it reasonable? Is it justified to feel some more confidence within that Browns defense after they shut out Arizona?
Well, I think the biggest factor that we've seen in recent games with them, and you can also point to they did give up a decent amount of yardage against Seattle, and they couldn't stop them from going down the field for the winning touchdown. That's all well documented. But this defense, you know, when you've watched it in the last several games, what stood out as well for them is the ability to take the football away, the takeaways. And so whereas they weren't as proficient as early in the year, you're starting to see some of that, and they will definitely need a lot of that this Sunday against Lamar, who, by the way, has fumbled the ball 10 times this year. He's lost six of them. So they're coming off a performance that was just epic in the sense that, yes, it was against Clayton Tune, 58 yards. They are only, I believe, the fifth team in the Super Bowl era to come out and hold their opponent to less than 100 yards of offense in the first eight games of the season. That's pretty amazing stuff, what they did in that game and then the previous game where they were under 100 as well. That's an amazing stat. Their first shutout in 251 games, and I think the last time that would have been the Bills and the Browns in the Blizzard Bowl, if I recall. And was that 06 or 07? But it's been a while, we shall say. And they were impressive, and they're certainly going to have to be even more impressive against an MVP candidate in Lamar this week.
Well, so let's talk about those Baltimore Ravens. Four straight wins for Baltimore, coming off a massive 37-3 win over Seattle, a Seahawks team that had that narrow victory against the Browns that you just talked about, JT. So what's been working well for Baltimore as of late? I think you kind of alluded to it, though, with Lamar basically playing at an MVP caliber level.
Yeah, they're just really the most together team that you could see in the NFL so far this year. I mean, their defense, they lead in points allowed, 13.6. They lead the NFL in sacks. And let's also give a shout-out to the division. You know, they play several of their games, obviously, against AFC North opponents. And AFC North opponents' non-divisional record is 17-6 so far this year. So this is a strong division, and they are the best team in the division. They're coming off 515 yards of total offense and just absolutely walloped the team that the Browns had difficulty with the previous week, Seattle. Allowed only 151 yards. Here's a wild thing. In their last four games, they are averaging a 20-point differential in their victories. They beat the Lions by 32, and I think it was 34 that they beat the Seahawks by. Point differential this year is 115. I think the next best team is about 20 points or so. They've only allowed 9 touchdowns this year. Obviously, they are a together team. A lot of times, you've got an outstanding defense, and then the offense struggles. This year, they're a top 10 offense, and Lamar is throwing at more than 70% completion percentage. He's got not a great amount of phenomenal offensive weapons per se, but he's got Mark Andrews. He always feels comfortable throwing the ball to him. So they really pose a lot of problems for Deshaun on the defensive side of the football, and then Miles and the defense for the Browns will have their hands full, against them. You know, it would have been, this is just kind of an offhanded thought, but it would have been kind of cool. It would not have been a lopsided victory last week, but it might have been some sort of a warm-up, if you will, if Kyler Murray were actually available to play and was the old Kyler Murray. You would have gotten a bit of practice, or at least a simulation, if you will, of what you deal with when you have a Lamar back there and not knowing what he's doing. He's a better thrower than he was earlier in his career, and I think Todd Monken's done a pretty good job with getting that offense to be comfortable, giving more power to Lamar at the line of scrimmage pre-snap, and the proof, as they say, is in the pudding.
Is this the biggest game of the season for the Brownies?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I mean, you could have scenarios where you say, oh, if they lose to the Ravens and beat the Steelers, they're still on a real good track to get to the playoffs. And of course, they have the Steelers here, which will be a raucous crowd for that. But this is the top toughest game of the year that they have. It will be one of those benchmark, litmus tests, as they would say, in the laboratory for them to see where they stand against what team around the National Football League, by many pundits, at this point in time, could be the best team in the league. I know The Athletic has them number one, Cincy 5, Cleveland 10, and Pittsburgh 13 in that very strong AFC North.
Yeah, it is a strong AFC North, and I think if the playoffs would have ended like today or this week, all four would have been in. So I think that speaks volumes to where the division is at. But Browns, Ravens this Sunday. Browns looking for a big road victory. We'll see if they can find a way to get it done. All right, JT, before I let you go, we got to talk some high school football. What regional semis? Hard to believe. Here we are. Our three games on WEOL. We've got Avon and Olmsted Falls, the rematch on the radio. That game's being played at North Ridgeville. We've got Clearview taking on Canfield South Range. The Clippers coming off a huge upset victory last week. That game will be played at Barberton, and then our Medina County matchup from Strongsville on Stream 3. It'll be the rematch again between Medina and Cleveland Heights. A shootout between those two the first time around, so hoping for some more fireworks this Friday. But another great round of high school football postseason action, JT.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting one. We're in the Sweet 16. I do want to give one shout-out to my gang at Fox 8. They did a great job with Friday Night Touchdown. You want your high school football highlights this week, they'll be within the confines of the 10 p.m. show. And last week, we had our Friday Night Touchdown Fox 8 Player of the Year award awarded to Marquise Davis, the outstanding junior at Cleveland Heights. So he'll see if he can score a lot of points for his Tigers against Medina. And, of course, Medina has the ability to throw that football all over the yard.
Oh, yeah.
Ed's McKinley, you know, that'll be interesting to see. One thing I want to point out is that, Riverside's had a real good year this year, Painesville Riverside. And they earned a strong and, in many ways, convincing victory last week in their second playoff game at home against Twinsburg. But I surveyed a lot of the fans and folks around that stadium that night, and while they're super excited that they've won two games in the playoffs, they know they have Hovind. I mean, they're not tricking themselves to thinking that that a possibility of a shutout some kind of a upset is in the making. They understand the incredibly difficult task it will be.
Yeah.
But that's one of the games to keep your eye on. Hovind Riverside, you have Lake Catholic Struthers, Perry, Garrettsville, Garfield, and Kirtland and Cuyahoga Heights, those two schools that have had a lot of history with each other, and they'll be meeting in the Sweet 16s this week as well.
And I'll also give a shout-out to my Walsh Jesuit Warriors, good old WJ, yes, taking on Hudson, a rematch from, I think we were talking off-air, about 2 years ago they played in the postseason. It was a good one. So that'll be certainly an interesting matchup this time around as well. But best of luck to our local teams here in the Sweet 16. Obviously open to keep things moving along in the postseason. Been a successful season if you get to this point for everybody, no question. But obviously everybody hoping to keep that dream alive. So high school football this Friday, postseason continues, and then the Brownies taking on Baltimore on Sunday. Plenty of football once again to keep track of here in Northeast Ohio. Don't forget those Buckeyes taking on Michigan State on Saturday. So JT, thank you for the time as always, my friend. I appreciate it. Take care the rest of this week, and we'll chat some more next time.
I look forward to it. Thanks again, Rocco.